A lot of times I understand what David meant when he said, I was glad when he said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Y'all ever feel that way? You know, we come down here, we have some good music, some good singing, good participation and everything. I think you've cut me up, cut me down, and cut me off, Jake. We'll get this thing right in a minute. I think a lot of times, I think the devil comes in here. Before we get here in the mornings, he might come by and say, let me tamper with these microphones a little bit. But we'll just overcome it and just go on about our business. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Always an exciting time. We're coming into December looking at, you know, and headed for the holiday that's named after Christ, you know. So we'll talk about Jesus, you know. And opportunity, I'm thinking about the opportunity God has blessed this church to have. You know, we're going to do a lot of this stuff for the children. And I know we hadn't mentioned this much, but in certain cases, older people too. You know, we don't draw limits on age, do we? If there's a need, that's what we want to do. But we'll get into that in a minute. We'll take that collection after a while. I want to talk about the Lord Jesus. You know, I come out here this morning and excited about the opportunity. I said this Wednesday night, so many things about Christmas excites me. But as much as anything, the opportunity that we have to show our love or share something with somebody, that's one of the greatest things that I have, an opportunity that God blesses us with. And I want us to see it that way. If you'll look with me in the book of St. Mark, and I'm going to start in chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 35. We're talking about Jesus this morning. You know, what better subject could we handle? You know, we know about Jesus. He was on earth, and He did a lot of miracles, you know. The dumb could speak, and the maimed would be whole, and the lame would walk, and the blind would see. You know, it's just miracle after miracle after miracle. And we look back in these scriptures and see that while He was here, He was giving us the illustrations about the power and the love of God. Have you ever thought about anybody that Jesus healed that we read about He healed? It's because God loved them. Can you imagine that God loved them? You know, she is singing a song about eyes on the sparrow. And we know, according to the Word of God, that we're more important than the sparrows. And so His love was demonstrated every time there was a healing process that took place. In St. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You know, early this morning, before most everybody got here, Brother Jim Blaylock came in, and he was explaining and talking about his morning. He is talking about the morning that God had showed him. He said he got up early, and the sun was just coming up over here on this side, and the moon was going down on the other side. Isn't that amazing? And he was talking about the beauty. How the greatness that God has blessed us with. You know, God told us in His Word that He would proclaim Himself through creation. And that's what He's talking about, the creation. And when I thought about Jesus, you know, He talked about, and in the morning, a great while before day, He went out and departed unto a solitary place and there prayed. What a time and opportunity we have during this season that we get up a little earlier and maybe, you know, I expect Jesus was there and prayed through the sunrise and saw the beauty that God had created. And what an opportunity we have to do the same thing. And we're focusing on about Jesus. And when He prayed, I want you to think about what He is praying for. You know, you say, well, it don't say. I can tell you He's praying for you. You say, well, He didn't know me. Yeah, He knew you. He still knows you. And that's what it was. In verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Can you imagine this, you know, this statement that he made? He said, all men seek for thee. Well, we know that for a fact. Jesus told them very plain and said, if I be lifted up between the heavens and the earth, will draw all men unto me. Well, He hadn't been lifted up yet, but there was already a drawing power there. We have to consider that this was a work and the power of God taking place. And He just telling him plain, He said, they're all looking for you. Everybody's looking for you. If there's one thing I'd like us to do during this Christmas season is that we look for Christ. I mean, look for Him in every aspect of it. Look for Him in all the things we do. You know, they were talking about going up shopping Thursday and shopping for the kid. Let's look for Christ in all of it. That's what we need. Let's seek Jesus in all of it. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And so he makes a statement of what he's here for. And he preached in our synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I like this confidence this leper had. You know, he had a disease that was incurable. It's still incurable to today. Medicine can't do anything for it. Doctors can't do anything for it. You get leprosy, you're going to die. It's a lot like sin, isn't it? It's a lot like sin. And so here he comes, but I like the confidence he had. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And so he came with a frame of mind and a belief in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing what he could do. He had faith that he could do it. And I think all this time, and we need to be about this faith, that we be like this leper. If thou wilt, thou canst. He didn't limit the power of God. He didn't limit the power of Jesus. He didn't limit it, put limits on anything. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He had a great need and desire in his life that he would be made whole again. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Did you get it? He said, moved with compassion. Jesus loved him. And we know Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same as he loved this leper, he loves you today. And that's what we want to focus on during this Christmas season, is about the love of God illustrated and demonstrated for us. What we can do. And it said, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And you think about how quick God can take care of a problem. You know, problems we sometimes, I won't speak for y'all, I don't know your mind. I have a tendency to kind of roll problems back or put them back on the back burner, you know, let them sit and simmer a while. They don't get nothing but worse. You might as well just handle them when they come up, hadn't you? Be better off to. And I thought about the immediate cleansing of this leper. Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. That's the confidence and faith we need to have in what God can do in our life and in our process and our outreach ministries that we have during Christmas. And straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and said unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And so Jesus instructs him and tells him what to do. Is that pretty plain? Could y'all understand that as I read through it about Jesus tells him what to do? He said, I don't want you to tell anybody. He said, just go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses had commanded. And I thought about this very much. He had a plain illustration of what he wanted him to do. In verse 45, I want you to look. This is just amazing to me. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in a desert place, and they came to him from every quarter. He tells him what to do. What does it do? Exactly opposite. You know, that sounds like some people I know. I could probably put a name on that, couldn't I? You know, we have instructions from Jesus. He tells us what we need to do in our life. He guides us. He directs us. If you're following the Holy Spirit that we have available with us today, that's Jesus telling you what to do. You know, this man did exactly the opposite. Caused a little problem for Jesus. You're thinking, Jesus has a problem? Well, here's what we get into. It said he couldn't publicly go into the city anymore. Everybody knew what he could do. I want to drop down to chapter 2. Read a few verses. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. So Jesus is in the house. He's preaching the word of God. Everybody's wanting in. He said there wasn't even room for them. You know, we're blessed this morning to have a great crowd here at New Salem Baptist Church. You know, you had the kids back in here. We're sitting pretty much full. But I thought about this house. He said they couldn't even get in the door. They couldn't even squeeze in the door. You know, everybody wanted to get to him so much. And as he's preaching the word, in verse 3, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born before. This is a major thing we need to see. This man that had palsy couldn't help himself. He had no power to get up and go on his own. But he needed the cleansing and the healing from Jesus. And so when he couldn't take care of it himself, he had four, friends, neighbors. I don't know for sure what they were, but they were very much concerned. It said they picked him up and was born afore. In other words, one got on every corner of his bed. And what did they do with him? They took him to Jesus. I want to preach to you this morning. If you've got somebody that don't seem to can help themselves, you know that person in your family I'm talking about, that they just can't help themselves, they can't get over this, everything's going wrong, take them to Jesus. And then there's some of them that I hear about having problems and problems and problems, and I've heard their confessions, I've saw their faithfulness to church, and now the problems arise, and I'm finding out that, well, a lot of them's out of church. You need to take them back to Jesus, where they started from. And when they brought him in verse 4, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy laid. Can you imagine that situation, that they were so determined they couldn't get in through the door, so they go up and take the top off the house? You know, I saw a few times that I thought the top might come off the house. Tornadoes, windstorm, high spiritual meetings. Amen. I've been in a few of them too, you know, that you didn't know if it was going to stand or not. You know, he got a little shake and a little quiver because the power of God got so real. But I thought about them. You know, what do you think Jesus' mind was when he saw him taking the top off the house and letting this man through? He knew they're serious. I guarantee you he knew they were serious about what they were trying to accomplish. I think God needs to see our seriousness in this celebration of the birth of Christ coming up. He needs to see that we're serious about getting some of our friends and family back to Jesus, or maybe the first time to Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Boy, that's the greatest thing. You know, everybody said, well, he had palsy, he needed heal. But the most important thing, that his sins were forgiven him. Sin's forgiven is greater than health, is the way I'm reading it. In verse 5, it said, verse 6, and there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart, why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? Jesus, God, there's no difference. They're one and the same. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. These three agree in one. If you got one, you got them all. You don't get one, have to seek the other one. I won't preach that too long and loud, but that's pretty plain, you know. And so they couldn't understand. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, they so reasoned within themselves. He said unto them, why reason you these things in your heart? The question asked, why reason you these things in the heart? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way unto thy house. And so he cleansed him of his sin and then healed him from his problem. This is a Jesus that we're going to celebrate his birth coming up very shortly. You know, we've already started in the motion. And I thought about the faith of these four. We need that same faith that we're going to bring somebody in that they might be healed. Wouldn't that be the greatest present you could get, that one of your loved ones received Jesus Christ, forgiven of their sins, healed from their problem? Wouldn't that be the greatest? You talk about unwrapping a gift. Now, I'm talking about some of our folks and friends. When they come to the Lord and get right with God and get into church, you talk about like a kid at Christmas, it'll bring joy, won't it? Verse 12, and immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before all of them, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. He didn't do this thing in the corner. He did it right out in the open, right out in the public. Everybody saw it. This man, everybody saw him get up off the bed and walk out. And through that they knew not only his sins were forgiven, but also his palsy was healed. And that's the Jesus we're dealing with today. I'm telling you, let's just give him praise. Let's give him honor. Let's give him glory in all things as Christ. In everything we do, let's put Jesus first. You'll start seeing pretty quick, you know, department stores. I guess it's about 2-3 years ago, they started, you know, not putting Christmas because they can't put Christ. Don't be guilty of that yourself. It's about Christ. That's what it's about. And a lot of these stores that deny or try to deny Christ in their Christmas, I'm not going to shop with them myself. I'm not telling we all where to go, but I know what I'm going to do. They'll not get my $4. Amen. And you think, well, it won't bother. It won't matter. If enough people did it, it would matter. Christmas is about Christ. I don't like this Merry Xmas. I don't care for that, y'all. If you're going to send me a card, be sure don't put Merry Xmas on it. Because, you know, I'm old, but I'm still fire up. Let's worship and give him praise in all things today. I want to mention before we close out, good to have Annette with us. She's had a sick spell and hadn't been able to come with us in a while. But Annette, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're better. Amen. So she's back at Thrive now. So anybody wants to stop by and see her, I'm sure she'd love to have visits too, you know. But I'm glad she got to come. Y'all stand. We're going to be dismissed. Oh, that's right. Yeah, let's go ahead and stand so you can get your pocketbooks out.